This should do. Okay, welcome everyone. Welcome on the Aries Working Group call, morning edition. Today in the agenda, we have relatively, let's say, relaxed two topics. One is obviously the summary of IIW, a big identity event which took place 2 weeks ago. I think it would be good to talk a little bit about what hot topics were there and obviously the feedback from the event. Then I prepared a short demo of Kerry, and I will do a short introduction to Kerry as well for those who never heard of Kerry and would like to discuss about plans for integration, Kerry approach into Aries ecosystem, specifically Akapai, or any other agent, actually, depending on who is working with which one. So first of all, the reminder that the call is recorded. The recording will be posted at the end of the call on the meeting page. As well, reminder about the antitrust policy. And we can start right away with maybe introduction with the new people on the call. So is there anybody on the call who would like to introduce himself to the community? Say a few words about what you're doing and why you are here. Okay. Obviously you can throw the introduction to the chat if you will, and if not, let's move on with our update. I think I'm not in the edit mode. This is why. Let's try to refresh it. Good. So let's start with the announcements. Any announcements from the related works or events or any interesting topics going on? So maybe I will share one thing. I don't know if everyone is aware of that, but recently there was a document which actually leaked from EU Commission, which is working on the act describing the governance framework in the EU. So basically what the governance framework was supposed to do is to taking care of the data spaces, as they call them. So basically to figure it out how to set up the rules for those who actually will aggregate the data and for what purposes they can do so. And how, and this is something which is right now in the discussions with the parliament, and by the end of this year probably there will be a voting for it. It's interesting from that perspective that it has a tremendous impact on that, how the businesses and the communities like ours will need to adapt to it. From the perspective of the data sharing and the data portability. Obviously, to get there, we need to have a proper technology to actually be able to do the data sharing in the first place. And obviously, this is a chance as well for the SSI community to show up the technology and show how actually this should be done in the right way from the perspective of this user-centric approach. So there is a couple of initiatives which actually will try to achieve that. There's a couple of organizations involved in lobby in that space, and obviously it will be as well related with the work which is happening in my data ecosystem. And there is a couple of other organizations which are involved in that, like a new governance, Human Colossus as well will try to be active in that space. To make sure that everything will be done as user-centric as possible with the technologies like SSI and VCs and so on. So I hope that this will work out very well. We'll see how it goes. if anybody will be interested about the document, let me know. I can share that document. Probably it will be released publicly, or maybe it's already released publicly on the officials' websites. But still, good. Any other things which anybody would like to share in the context of the announcements? If not, we can move on to the related calls.
So tomorrow is our week for the identity implementers call. That would be the hour following this tomorrow. And we go over a lot of things from that happen in various different working groups. And also Paul Knowles from Human Colossus will be there to talk to us about the overlays data capture architecture. Give us a presentation and demo of that.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Steve.
On the DIDCOM working group call at the DIF this week, we had a close fest and were able to close quite a number of older outstanding tickets, including lots of ones that existed from the very beginning of the working group, having transferred them over from the from Aries RFC issues. So that was quite cool. And work proceeds.
Perfect. Anyone from the anyone here was attending the last working group B call? I would like to give an update.
Yeah, we had a really cool demo from Kiva talking about their app goodness and what's going on there. Talked a little bit about IW recap, and then the main, we had a couple of discussion topics that were good. Privacy preserving proof of uniqueness was one of them. And we had a discussion that was quite entertaining about the right MIME types to use for DIDCOM messages as well. That came up in discussion. So
thank you very much, Sam. Okay, let's move on to the work updates. Anyone would like to give any update? I saw Troy, you put some things about the Go. Maybe you would like to speak a little bit about that. What is going on in that space?
Yeah, sure. So I posted the meeting notes, so you can take a look at that at your leisure. The summary of what's going on is that the BBS Plus verifiable credential support was added. So I mentioned that in the B call last week, but for those who are on the A call, I'll just mention it again. And the next steps there are the interop support and testing against the Matter implementation, and then adding selective disclosure capabilities. For example, in the presentation exchanges, we are working on remote encrypted storage capability based on DIF secure data storage. What we've implemented so far is the EDV support, but we did it in such a way that it's basically applied to underlying storage. So you can basically encrypt your underlying storage with that data format. And we are adding the REST client as well. So the Docker image we produce would be able to be configured against an EDV service for encrypted wallet storage against that service. We're also working on remote KMS support so that the Docker image could configure a KMS. And like we mentioned last week, there's a new repo called Aries Framework Go EXT, which is adding basically components that you can configure the framework with. So the first two are MySQL and CouchDB, and MongoDB was contributed in the last week. And there's an open PR for the RabbitMQ inbound transport support that's open in the EXT repo as well.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Any other work updates? Okay, then let's move on to the main agenda. So obviously IAW, I don't know how many of you actually attended IAW this, the what was the 32? So, yeah, sure. Consent for everything. So for those who don't know, what is IAW? It's an Internet Identity Workshop. It's organized twice a year. It's a big event in the context of the know-how and topics in the space of identity, very broad, because there is a lot of topics across identity, digital space, data portability, and overall a future version of the internet, including AI and some crazy topics related with that. This year, definitely, I think we can say that the hot topic was Keri. So key event receipt infrastructure, which we'll talk a little bit about that in the second part of the meeting. But overall, maybe let's start with anybody who is on the call, who was attending IAW, would like to share any specific thoughts about this event and the interesting topic which he attended in the sessions.
Robert, I'll offer an observation. This is not one specific session, but something that showed up in several was the trend of focusing on transitioning to an SSI ecosystem and how to serve users at the low end of technology, users that either can't or won't engage using a smartphone, and what's the best thing to do there. So there was a number of conversations around that topic, and that was encouraging to see.
Thank you. I mean, from my side, this what I can add is definitely amazing experience, because obviously due to the current situation with the pandemic and the whole lockdowns, and obviously the conference happened remotely, and obviously it's not the same as being physically and speak with people physically, but I must say that I really enjoy remote version of IAW. It gives you all a bit more space and time to organize during your day, and you don't have to be like really full time there. And obviously, because of the time zones, it allows a lot of people to actually join it without need to travel to California and be there physically, which sometimes it's really problematical. And I remember that on one, I think on the previous IAW, there was a huge debate about how to open up IAW to other communities. And obviously the organization organizing it in California, it's one of the barriers for a lot of people from around the globe to actually come and be part of it. And the remote version of it definitely allow them to make it much easier. And this year, I think there was a record in the context of amount of people taking part of it. So I'm really glad that technology allow us to achieve that on such a scale. So any other interesting sessions which you would like to share with us? I see Will is on the call. Will, would you like to share something from your side? No? You're muted if you're trying.
Sorry, I'm just on the train with most paying attention. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I can pick out any particular standouts, but I'm mostly on the call because I'm interested in Keri from IAW. I want to see what's going on with the Keri integration for Akamai. yeah, I'm keen to see where that goes in the future. So it seems cool. Sure. Learn more.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And sorry for bothering. So obviously from the perspective of the sessions, as I said, the whole topic was carry. And I think there was no day where actually there was no one or two sessions about that topic, which from my side, mostly that's where I spent my time on. And it's very interesting to see. And one of the session was very interesting from the perspective of the kind of economical reasons and the kind of incentives where our world goes towards. So obviously from the perspective of SSI and the data portability, a lot of organization and institutions trying to build up a solution where actually they want to change the way how the user is perceived in the ecosystem without thinking or looking on the other side of the equation, which are businesses, which are actually monetizing the data. And as soon as they will have incentives to monetize the data in the way that they do it right now, then obviously it will be really hard to find solutions or build up ecosystem in a way that actually they will not overuse it and will not trick people to share their data as it's happening right now. So I think this is very very important lesson to take and really think about how to change the business models and the incentives models on the side of the businesses to make sure that they will not play that game based on the old rules, but they will start thinking about the new ecosystem and new data flows with respect to the privacy of the users and other businesses. So I think this is very eye-opening thought. So if there is no other interesting sessions which you would like to share with, I can jump straight to the second part, which is a little bit about carry and the demo and the discussions about how actually we can make that happen in the Aries ecosystem. So maybe by raising your hands on Zoom, how many of you heard of carry or knows what is carry? Just raise your hand or do any kind of icon on Zoom chat so I can see. Okay, so we have, let's say, most of them. And actually, Philip, if you read this 100 pages white paper, then that's really quite a lot. So definitely, so there is a basic basic understanding. But for those who don't know anything about carry, I will recommend to go to carry.one. It's a website which is promoting the architecture and the work which is done around carry. Carry was introduced by Sam Smith, who is the initiator or creator of the white paper. And Carry stands for Key Event Receipt Infrastructure. And what it is basically, it's as it states on the website, is truly fully decentralized identity system, including so basically very powerful DKMS solution and interoperable as a key aspect of that system. So how it compares to what we have so far. So obviously carry will aim to improve or create a next generation of the decentralized identifiers. So what is the difference between, first of all, carry starts very simply with public private keys, then you have identifier, and then you have a set of the events which allows you to describe what is the status of the identifier. So you can think of those events as something which is DID document right now in the space of the DID core specification. So it tells you how to identify the user, how to establish a relationship with that identifier, figure it out what his recent keys, if he did any rotation, if the key was invalidated or identifier was invalidated and so on. So it's a kind of micro ledger, which is controlled only by the subject. means that you don't need to have any ledger, although you can use ledger to put the identifiers or the events on the ledger and use the proper or some properties of the ledgers. But overall, the idea of carry is that it's agnostic to any network, right? It doesn't tells you where you have to put it. It just overall is just a protocol describing how you can establish a relationship and how you can establish a control over a set of the keys and the identifier and how to communicate that to the world. So from that perspective, there is a very interesting work which is done right now in DIF, where carry is implemented right now. There is a couple of implementation. There is a repository which is carry. It's an overall repository with something which is called kids. Kids are basically, you can compare it to ARIS RFC. It's basically a document specification implementation docs and stuff like that. There is a bunch of them right now which describe in details the specific aspects of carry, how it works, what are the assumptions and how to basically implement those. And as well in that repository, you will find additional resources to read it up or try it out, different implementation. Currently, there are separate repository for the Python implementation, Rust implementation, JavaScript, and Go. And from yesterday call, as we learned, there will be a Java implementation as well. So there is a bunch of people working on that. Overall, the work is done under Decentralized Identity Foundation. There is a plan to actually converted to a dedicated working group. Currently is under, I think, identity track. But definitely there is a lot of interest in the technology itself because it's it gives you or it solves problems which so far a lot of identity systems struggle with. Sorry. So for example, scaling issues. There is a bunch of examples where actually we saw that actually scaling identity solution to the national level is not as easy as you could think of, and some ledger technologies do not have a proper solutions for that. Then another thing is the interoperability. So it means that if you have a DITSOF and you have identity on the sovereign network, how you move or how to communicate with someone who, for example, using DIT Ethereum or DIT Indy or completely a completely different solution. So this is something which is really promising in an aspect of adoption of SSI in the whole ecosystem. I know it from the first hand that a lot of companies actually are not implementing or not going into the DIT space too fast because they are worried about this interoperability aspects, especially in the consortiums where there is a lot of actors, a lot of companies interacting each other. And obviously you can't force everyone and say that you have to use this ledger, you have to use this one. So everyone wants to use own solution. And obviously this generates a lot of problems. And obviously you're probably aware of the initiative within the indie space, how to introduce interoperability between the indie ledgers. But obviously that's just one ecosystem, and there is a lot of more than that. So carry aim to solve that problem, and this is why it's so interesting to have it in the space and interesting to play with it. Sorry. Okay. So any questions so far about the carry itself? or anyone would like to add something to that, what I just said? Okay, so let's move on to the demo. So obviously from the perspective of the implementation, it's very early stage what we have right now. And I will show you implementation, a simple implementation based on Keriox. So the Rust implementation. Bring up this. So we created a simple TDA. So TDA stands for Trusted Digital Assistant. You can call it digital wallet as you wish, but why we call it TDA, I think, we spoke a little bit here as well about that, but in the future we can do a little bit more sessions diving into the topic. Overall, the Trusted Digital Assistant is something which is more than just identity, but there is, you can think of it as something like Jarvis from Iron Man, which you may be familiar with. So there is some more stuff going into it. So what it does is that basically currently is just using Keri. The aim is to use OCA. So, very sorry. Kind of ill still a little bit. TDA is using Keri right now just to bootstrap the identity system and implement something which is called direct mode. And what is direct mode in Keri is that you have two entities which exchange information between themselves and keeping track of the event log of each other's. So what that means, it's very, very close to the concept behind the DIT peer, where you have a pairwise communication between two actors and you make a promise that you'll be honest with other person no matter what. Means that if I will commit to my identifier and commit to the history of that identifier, this will never change in the context of other party, right? And now if you have, if you go outside of direct mode, you get into this interaction mode where actually you make a promise to everyone else in the whole ecosystem that you will be honest with every party which is publicly interacting with you, that you will not change be duplicit in the context of the event logs which you are propagating to the network. What that means is that basically you're saying that your identifier is represented by those keys. And in case if something changed, rotation, if you do the rotation of the keys, if you delegate access to someone, or if you do something, it will be consistent across across all the communication channels. So Keri achieved that by having an immutable, let's call it this micro ledger, which is controlled by you, which is basically set of the events. And I will show you how how it looks like. So I will bootstrap two instances here. This is 5.3, 5.2. And then we'll try to, let's connect to the first one. So here the TDA exposed a simple TCP connectivity to the agent. And you can send a basic command to the agents to do something with your identifier, with your identity. Currently, there is a bunch of events which are already implemented. We already have some more, like for example, delegation in this demo is not included, but this is already already implemented in the Python and the Rust version. So, first of all, when you're creating a TDA, the identifier and the identity is created. And this is done by creating inception event. And inception event is constructed with some, so there is a bunch of things going into it, but I will try to keep it on the high level. Basically, inception event is cryptographically linked with your key materials. So you can prove that this event was created by that specific identifier. And the identifier within the carry space is called prefix. And this prefix is used the same way as you have like did colon soft colon, and then the identifier goes, right? So it's basically a cryptographical a digital representation or some kind of link towards the cryptographical material behind it. And you can always verify that on any stage. And this event includes a bunch of information. You can include any arbitrary data into the inception event, some configuration, initial witnesses, which are basically entities which keep copy of your key event log. So you can distribute that event logs if you're going into the interaction mode versus direct mode. But the point of the event log is that no matter from whom you will receive the event log, you can be 100% sure and cryptographically verify each of the state of the event that it comes from specific key materials, right? So it's immutable, it's appended only a ledger, which then can be provided to you from any location. So we bootstrapped the identity with the inception event. There is a public key in it. So you, as soon as you get that event, you know exactly about the public key material of that specific identifier. So you can use it for verification of or sending a messages to that user or establishing another communication channels with that identity. So those events are so locally. So right now, if you would like to communicate with another agent, F13. Basically, did something wrong. F9153. Okay, that's interesting. So what is happening when you establish a communication with another agent is just that you exchange the event logs. So in that case, you're passing your inception event, and the other agent is responding to you with receipt. This is why you have this key event receipt infrastructure, because it's all about the receipts, which you can use to confirm that someone saw you or someone recorded that was your last state of the cryptographical material. So this event obviously is stored on the side of the agent, and then on your side you're storing this receipts in your local instance, so you can later on prove to someone that you already exchanged the information with someone and prove the state prove the current state of the event log. So normally, so there is not much into it at that stage, but there is a bunch of events which you can generate here. So once more, we have just inception. We can generate interaction event, which can include any arbitrary content to it. It means that you can anchor any digital assets to your identifier. You could, for example, link it to a specific a document or prove that you recorded something in that state or something happened. So so you can put any any information into it, and it will be part of your event log. Then obviously the rotation event. So the rotation event allows you to rotate your key, and in case if your key was compromised. And here comes a very interesting feature of carry, which is built in with the pre-rotation mechanism. What that means is that when you're generating inception event, you can define another key which is allowed to take over the identifier in case if the the original one will be compromised. This gives you a possibility to rotate and recover from a disaster scenario where, for example, your keys were lost or compromised, or your device was destroyed or something like that. You can still can recover it from it. Obviously, there is a different cases how you should protect your keys. There is nothing new in that, but overall the idea is that you have a recovery key, which you basically securely store in the location where actually you don't want, you don't expose that key anywhere. And the key which actually you are using for the regular basis for the interactions and operational stuff, obviously each time when you use it, it's somehow exposed to any type of the ecosystem. Like for example, on your PC, when you use the private key, then obviously there is a risk that something bad can happen with that key. And the recovery scenario allows you to have this pre-rotation key, which then in case if this one will be compromised, using the key which was pointed out in the inception event, which allows you to rotate your key and create a new event log informing everyone else that the key was changed. And now this one is the latest one. And into this one, there is a very nice delegation mechanism built into the whole concept as well, which gives you a very solid DKMS solution for, especially for the organization, where you have a different levels of security within the organization, and you can recover from any type of the exposure of the keys in case if, for example, the employee laptop will be infected or the keys will be stolen from there and so on. And you can always recover from that in a very elegant manner. So that's the kind of basic vision of how it works. And like I said, the current implementation is in very early stage, so do not expect much, but actually Yolocom released recently a wallet which is already using Keri as an identity provider, and you can do a simple stuff with it. So there is definitely work ongoing, and we are expecting that by the end of this year, Keri will have at least a couple of implementation production ready, which then can be used in the different projects. Obviously, within the Human Colossus Foundation, we are planning to use Keri for our whole infrastructure and the sandbox environment, where we are showing how the data flows can be established within the SSI ecosystem or with SSI ecosystem. And here comes the topic related with the Aries ecosystem and the vision about how to integrate Keri as a one of the, let's say, ledger providers of VDR solution. From our side, we are preparing to start working on extending Akapai to be able to speak Keri. And obviously the tooling for that to make that happen. And as well, on the other side, we had a discussions on the Keri call about how to provide interoperability or something which some people call it masquerade or some kind of bridges between the Keri and the indie ecosystem. So how that works is that as soon as you're using DIT indie, you know to which ledger you can go, and obviously the whole mechanism is well known. But we could, with Keri, this is what we could do, is to provide a bridge between indie ecosystem and any other ledger or any kind of network, even within the indie ecosystem, where we can introduce interoperability. And obviously there is a lot into that to talk about the details, but first of all, I would like to address or ask basically the community here and people on the call about how actually we can make that happen and what will be the necessary steps to take into consideration to think about implementation of, let's call it another ledger or another network, which is handled by the Aries agent. In that case, this, let's say, ledger is very specific one because it's this micro ledger, which is basically operating within your own system, but then later on it will be extended by the network of witnesses, the resolver with the DHT mechanism and so on. But what are the steps which we'll need to take, or where to, what topics we should address to start building up this application or this implementation? And how you would see it from the perspective of this, what you guys are doing, if this is something which will be very useful from the perspective of your projects and the problems which you are facing within your projects. So anyone, any comments? So if no comments, I will just add one more thing. From the perspective of the carry, why we actually want to have carry in ACAPI or Aries Toolbox and others, is obviously that we want to introduce interoperability aspects for a different mechanism. One of them is obviously the VCs, but as well the being able to communicate across the networks. And this is something which we're aiming for within our implementation.
Robert, I've got a question.
Yeah.
So sure. I was really confident of something in my brain until you said what you just said. And so now I have a question. I had imagined that carry was a thing that was the concern of DID methods, and that as long as we, you know, supported the DID methods that use carry, then we were doing what we needed to do. But your comment that you just made, if I understood it right, indicates that there are things to do to support carry that are independent of DID methods. Can you say anything more to help enlighten me?
So how to put it? So this how I see carry is that basically it's a next generation of DIDs, right? So decentralized identifiers. So what it means is that basically it covers the mechanism of creation of the identifier, resolution of the process, figuring out, as you wish, we can call it the document or the event log, whatever it is, basically figuring out how and what and how you can interact with that specific identifier, right? So that's the base, right? And this is the main focus on the implementation. And as soon as you have that, then obviously you can use it the same way as using DID for any other purposes, right? It's just that from that perspective, you don't need to register that DID anywhere. You can actually move that DID across the network and it will be still the same DID, right? You don't need to have DID methods to figure it out where actually this DID is registered or how to resolve it. And this solves as well a problem of this, for example, the situation which is happening right now with the universal resolver, DID method registry implementation, 77 DID methods in the digital wallet. So, but overall it's mostly, and I think your understanding is correct, it's mostly about the DID space, right? So if the agent, so the problem is that the DID spec doesn't take into consideration this new approach which carry introduced. And obviously probably it will take some time until it will take that into consideration. So without waiting, we would like to implement a possibility to create a DID, which is pure DID carry method. And actually I should not use method because there is no such thing like a method. There is no need for the method anymore in that space. And obviously we need to figure it out how to bridge that where we are right now towards eventually this approach which carry introduced, which seems to be very legit and very very promising for the future of the whole SSI. So I don't know if that's clarify.
Maybe let me say back to you what I think I understand, and you can tell me, you can correct me, yep, where I get it wrong. carry could be used within a DID method. And the current sort of architectural understanding is that the process of starting with a DID and ending up with a DID document is called a resolution, and that all resolution is handled by DID methods. You're saying that carry can be applied in a way that exists independent of DID methods, but still would exist somehow in the resolution layer. We would just need to figure out the right way to make that work.
Right. So this is pretty much accurate. And I think the problem is on my side, because I'm moving too fast with that thing. And a lot of people actually pointed me out that, and there is a lot of politics behind it as well, because basically from my point of view, and that's something which is shared among a lot of people who are working on carry. Carry will upgrade DIDs to the level where actually you don't need to have methods, right? And the resolution process will be much more secure, because currently there is no, or at least not for all the methods. As you said, the resolution process is up to the method. So the method can define how the resolution process works. And the concern here is that if someone will introduce a method which is not secure, or somehow it will be compromised, the whole SSI ecosystem will get a bad PR, or people will realize that the SSI is not secure, or whatever, right? So it will be really all bad PR for the whole SSI, right? And here is a big problem with the implementation as well, because of the amount of those methods. So this is why I said that carry will upgrade DIDs to the level where actually it will be truly decentralized identifier, and the resolution process will resolve to this event log, or it can be called the document, doesn't matter. It's just the way how it's structured that you can cryptographically link those stuff, right? So obviously, until we'll get there, we need to have a bridge, right? And as we discussed within the carry community, the bridge probably will be something like DID colon in the colon carry identifier. So we'll use some sort of the namespace which says that yes, this DID is on the indie network, and it's basically works the same way as the indie DIDs DID methods. But as soon as you realize that this is a carry compatible DID, then you can do it slightly different, the resolution process and everything else which goes after, right? Means that in the future, you can take this identifier and move it between the ledgers, or move it between the networks, or and so on. So obviously there is this bridging problem which we have here, because obviously we cannot just come to the community and say, hey guys, ditch DIDs and let's move on to carry. Obviously that's not an option, because we don't know if the acceptance within the community will be on that level. And a lot of people actually build businesses around that DIT technology and the DIT methods, and that as well have some impact on that. So so we need to figure it out how to marry those two concepts and figure it out if actually they can coexist each other. And technically it's possible, and we have some ideas how to do it. So the existing system can still function as it is, and we just introduce a carry sub namespace into existing DIT methods if the network would like to support that solution. And then step by step moving towards a truly interoperable solution where doesn't matter on which network or which agent or which DIT method or DIT you will use, it will basically just work.
Okay, thanks.
I just have a real basic question. The event logs, the receipt logs that you're talking about, how big do they get and where do they reside?
Right. So the size of the event log is not much. I mean, it depends on the use case. Obviously it can go really, basically it's the life cycle of the identity, right? Or the keys. So what is in the event log is mostly rotation events. So as soon as you rotate your key for whatever purposes, right? Any type of the delegation which you are doing, any type of interaction which you would like to record on that event. So so normally it will be relatively small, but it can be bigger and bigger. But the thing is that since you don't care from where you will get it, the distribution of the or location of the event log doesn't matter. Normally it's resist within your TDA or and mostly it's on, let me see where we have this inception event, within the witnesses. So the witnesses are basically places like, for example, DLT, Ledger, Indy, Sovereign, Ethereum, or centralized system, or just IPFS or decentralized storage, you name it. Basically a place where people can get your event log. And within the inception event, you define those witnesses and you can rotate those witnesses as you go. So here you have the initial list of the witnesses. So the event log normally resists within the witnesses network or as well anybody else who actually will willing to keep the copy of your event log, and not necessarily the whole event log, because you can, as soon as you have the chain of those events, this what you need is actually the recent event which is describing the state of the of the given identity. It means that you can reduce the size of the event log to the minimum if it's needed, right? So yeah, I mean, the beauty about this one is that the location doesn't matter. It's not that you have to trust any specific location or any specific provider of that event log, like it is the case in the document in some cases, that there is a magic box which gives you this DID document and you have to trust it, right? Because it says so. And there is no cryptographical link between those items. Here, everything is a strong, there is a strong binding between those items. So basically it doesn't matter where you put it. But normally there is a witness infrastructure behind it, which then in the public environment where you, when you acting in this interact mode, you reach to check if the person is honest and the log was not modified and so on. And the, in the direct mode, which you saw here on the demo, is basically on the both sides. So the whole event log is stored in each TDA as soon as communicates each other.
Very good, thank you. That helps.
And obviously within the concept of the carry, there is much more from the perspective of the infrastructure, because there are some, there is a concept of witnesses, judges, watchers. So there is a different levels on the network which observe or taking part in the interactions, but pure concept of the carry doesn't require actually anything except having within this direct mode, exchange the event logs, and basically that's it, right? So there is no need to interact with a ledger. There is no need to resolve anything. You can cryptographically prove everything which is which the person or entity says about that identifier and see if the person is honest. Okay, so back to the Aries ecosystem. So from our side, this is what we are trying to establish right now, is to figure it out how actually to bootstrap the plugin for the agents to be able to speak carry as you wish. We'll start with this one, and then as soon as we'll have it, then obviously one of the first implementation will be done probably through this development environment, through the Aries toolbox and the Akapai, as this is our main stack which we are using currently. And then by extending that, obviously as we go, we will learn about how those stuff works. And by having this one, it will be good to figure it out about this bridging and figure it out how actually we can bridge a different DIP methods on the Indy networks towards carry or other way around, to make sure that we can introduce the interoperability. If you have any specific places or people which you will suggest to speak about that, I will really appreciate that. Obviously, from the perspective of everything what we will do, it will be publicly available, and everything what you saw here is as well available on our GitHub. You can try it out on your own. The carry stuff is on the diff repository, so everything is there. And yeah. Any other comments or feedback?
I have a comment. Maybe you covered it earlier. What is the long-term plan for integrating all this into Aries HCA Pi, for example?
Yeah. So, I mean, the long-term is basically making sure that the Aries ecosystem is able to speak that protocol, because Keri is basically a protocol which describes how to talk this decentralized identifiers. If this will be widely accepted or widely used, that's obviously up to the community. But I think there is a huge potential in Keri to improve the way how the DITS operates right now. So our vision will be to first provide the basic extension to Aries Akapai to make that work. So you can choose within your agents which type of the identifier you want to use. So it will be a standard flow from the vision, which was the architecture of the Aries, where you can have a different BDRs and things like that. And then figure it out how to bridge that. So bridge, I mean, make sure that the DITS off or DIT methods, whatever you're using, that it will be somehow compatible, be able to talk with Keri and all the way around. Because I think overall goal, as I said, interoperability, that's the main aspect which we are working here to get, because currently there is a huge problem, and especially from the businesses when you speak with them and say that, yeah, we can use DIT soft, DIT indie, DIT whatever. But then there is a question, okay, what if someone else is using a different ledger or completely different solution, right? How to bridge it, how to make that work. And there is a lot of problems with that currently. So we believe that Keri is the solution for that problem. And obviously if it is, then having that in Aries will be very beneficial for the whole project. Okay, good. So we hit the hour. So if there is no more questions, we can close it here. Thank you very much for your time. Obviously, if you have any questions or feedback later on, you can find me on Rocket Chat or via email. Yeah, I'm looking forward for the collaboration and making Aries ecosystem compatible with this vision. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.